Good morning. Welcome to Connecting Point Home Edition. I realized there was nobody here yet, so I'm starting over. I am so glad you're here. Welcome to our living room. We welcome you into our home, and we're just so glad to be together. So I'm going to start with a word of prayer. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you in our homes, wherever we are, God. We welcome your presence, and we say, Father, have your way in us. Have your way and speak what is on your heart, Lord. Thank you that you have given us hearts that are hungry for you. Thank you that you have given us eyes to be able to see, Father, and that you've given us ears, Lord God, that hear everything the way that you hear things. So, Father, we choose to filter. We filter everything through your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you've been preparing the ground of our heart, and we receive the seed of your word. We receive you, Lord. And we do it together, one body, one spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the word tells us in Psalm 133:1, how good and how pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together as one. You know, and during this time, I'm appreciating my brothers and sisters in Christ more than ever. I never thought that being united would look something like this in my living room, Facebook Live, or WhatsApp, whichever media you're using to connect. But God had already prepared a way for us. He knew this was going to happen, and he set everything in place so that we could be together during these times. And so I'm very, very grateful for all of you. And thank you for being here. I'm going to read mainly from the Passion Translation and the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 2:15-16. We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the Anointed One to God, a perfume of life to those who are being saved, and the odor of death to those who are perishing. The unbelievers smell a deadly stench that leads to death, but believers smell the life-giving aroma that leads to abundant life. And who of us can rise to the challenge? You know, the Lord right now is shaking everything that can be shaken. He's shaking us. He's shaking the world systems. Because what is left is going to be eternal. And we globally are becoming the alabaster boxes that are breaking all over and releasing the true fragrance, the true spirit of the living God, so that he will be known. So he's asking us, who is up for this challenge? And so the answer to the question for us is, I am, Lord. Let it be done in me. Apostle Bob has been exhorting us for at least a couple of years to consecrate ourselves to the Lord and to surrender our lives to him, to let the Lord search us and show us what is inside, what needs to be removed, and what God builds on. And so to the unbelieving world, what is happening right now with the fear and the disconnect and the isolation and the hurt that is going on, to them it is the stench of death, what is happening. But to us, not that we are not struggling. We are having difficult times too. But the Lord is drawing his bride. He's drawing his body into him, unto him. And in our consecration, we are finding strength and courage in faith together. And we are hearing through our friends and churches and prophets and preachers globally that God is bringing adjustment to his body. He is recalibrating us. He is doing something amazing in his church. And so we want to position ourselves to say, God, I want it. I want it all. And I give myself fully over to you. Let your will be done in me. So with Apostle Babylon's encouragement, I wanted to share with you a few things that the Lord has been challenging me and stirring in me. So thank you for listening. So today we will be talking a little bit about us, the body. In John 17:21-23, Jesus prayed, I pray for them all to be joined together as one, as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me and now I live fully in them so that they will experience perfect unity. and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me." You know, we can only truly be one as the body when we are one with the Lord first. And because when we're drawing from the same source, who is God, then when we are speaking to each other, we recognize the voice of our shepherd, and we can trust that what is coming out of us is coming out of the mouth of the Lord. The Lord has been bringing a real narrowing, though. He's making it really clear that he wants to be our everything, and he wants to be our first. So not only when I need something, but when I'm really excited about something, when I'm celebrating something, he wants to be the first I go to. He wants to celebrate with me. He wants me to have a heart of gratitude and go to the Lord. But then out of that relationship with him, he also wants our oneness in the body to become much deeper. You know, he said that the world would know that Jesus was sent by the Father in our unity. And he really is doing that. We are experiencing that right now. And I have three unifying actions that I want to share with you as the body that we need to align to and come together on so that we can be a part of God's next move. One, we need to come together in deeper relationship with one another. That is the only way that we are going to be able to do the next two. Two, we need to be teachable and unoffendable. And three, we need to come together as one voice. Why do we need to come into deeper relationship with each other? Because sadly, even in the body, we have bought into the culture of the world that says, I don't have enough time in my life to make time to be with the body and connect with people in the body. Or we have become so self-sufficient in the culture of the world that we'll say, I don't need anybody. I can do this on my own. I can handle it. Or another is, I don't know if I can be vulnerable. Can I really, do I feel safe enough to show people what's going on in my life and to be honest with what is happening? And God is challenging all of that right now, and he is going to bring big change to his body. So in the midst of this plague, God has freed up much of our time. That's why we're doing this from home today. And he's developing closer relationship in the body so that we are learning to trust each other. And how do we do that? By having real conversations so that when we're together, we're really talking about what's inside of us and what is going on in our lives. And we're not having just the surface conversations anymore. And we're building each other up in the faith. We are praying for one another. We're truly coming together, encouraging one another and coming into depth of relationship. And this is how we're going to be able to respond to the questions that he's asking us. You know, God did not cause the virus, but we can sense it. He's doing something really supernatural out of the time that we're living in right now. Holy Spirit globally directed the body to take communion every day. And Apostle Bob encouraged us at Harvest to start doing that on March 22nd at 8 o'clock. And Sarah Tumanello, the following day, led by the Holy Spirit, started a Zoom communion. And it is such a beautiful picture of how the body is so many parts that come together. So we have joined Sarah, many of us, and we all really play important parts in our communion time. Some people oversee the technical aspect. Others take notes. We all take turns leading communion, and we take turns praying. And we are seeing more of each other connecting in the spirit now, in this time that would have been a time of isolation, but truly for us, it is a time of consecration and giving over to the Lord than we have in all the years that we've been together at church. And so out of these precious times that we have every night at 8 o'clock, God is building something strong inside of each and every one of us. And together, we're coming together at a whole new level of relationship with God and with one another. So what the enemy intended for evil is backfiring on him. Because even in the difficulties and in the adjustments that we're going through, we are actually becoming one. And that's glorious. And we're so excited for that. So when all of this is over and we go back to the new normal, whatever that is, we need to really give our time over to the Lord. I was thinking about this. Time belongs to God. He actually has a plan for our time every day. And so when I get up in the morning, I need to really submit my time to the Lord. And I was thinking of how many times he's brought somebody to my attention and I have said a quick prayer and then I've gone on with the rest of my day. And I want to encourage us, next time the Lord brings a person to our mind, to ask him, Lord, is this a moment where you want me to intercede for this person and pray? Or are you asking me to actually pick up the phone and connect with this person voice to voice? Do you want me to go out to lunch with them? Whatever that might look like and be, let's just make sure that we're flexible, that when the Lord is moving us to come closer at a new level, we can do that. And if the only way that you can do that right now is through Zoom and WhatsApp and whatever other medium, then so be it. As long as we're obedient, that when God says, I want you to draw close, we do that so that we don't lose the momentum God has been building in his body right now. So we need to be teachable and unoffendable. There are many, many, many verses in the Word that talk about God being a good father, but a father that out of love and out of devotion brings discipline and correction. And so I really feel like God is saying, I want you to be open to what I am doing. And I have put specific things in the Word that there are actually do's and don'ts. They're not optional. So when the Lord is speaking to us from the Word, we need to really take hold of that and allow the Lord to bring the change in the life that he's wanting to bring in our lives. In Proverbs 3:11-12, he says, my child, when the Lord God speaks to you, never take his word lightly and never be upset when he corrects you. For the father's discipline comes only from his passionate love and pleasure for you. Even when it seems like his correction is harsh, it is still better than any father on earth gives to his child. In Revelation 3:19, all those I dearly love, I unmask and train. So repent and be eager to pursue what is right. Hebrews 12:8-9. We all should welcome God's discipline as the validation of authentic sonship. For if we have never once endured his correction, it only proves we are strangers and not his sons. And isn't it true that we respect our earthly fathers when they, even though they correct and discipline us, then we should demonstrate an even greater respect for our God, our spiritual father, as we submit to his life-giving discipline. No, God is shining his light on us and recalibrating us so that he can do away with what is off and build into us what is Christ. Correction from God says that I am his daughter. He says that he loves me, that I am not a stranger to my heavenly father. I am so grateful for that. So discipline is a gift, not a rejection. And the Lord was showing me that correction and condemnation are not the same, but somehow we put them both in the same category and then respond and feel the same about both. But correction is bringing into the light of God a wrong that he's wanting to make right. Condemnation is the accusation that you are beyond reproof and you should be judged and punished for it. So correction is life. Condemnation is death. John 10:10 tells us, a thief, Satan, has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. See, the accuser of the brethren is the one that brings condemnation. He is still trying to trick us into believing that God sees us from a judgmental point of view, that God is constantly disappointed in who we are and tries to imprison us in this lie that is not real. But Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant, and correction, refinement, and recalibration are all a part of that abundant life. So we're getting better and better because we are consecrating ourselves to the Lord, to hear his correction when he's speaking to us. But what when he brings that correction through another believer in the body? Somebody that you trust, somebody that you know is trustworthy, that hears God and is operating out of the love of God. Ephesians 4:14-16 tells us, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I actually have an example of receiving love from somebody that I trust. Last week, I said something that was inaccurate, and I needed God's wisdom and light to be shown on it, because I want to be a mature daughter of God. I don't want to be a child, so I don't want to speak like a child. And so this person that I trust brought correction and clarity to my statement. I appreciated it so much, because that says to me, I love you, and I love the fact that I know that you want to be everything God has meant for you to be, to leave you in this place of that is not accurate in God. And so speaking the truth in love is not condemnation, but it is revealing the truth of God to our hearts and to our spirit. And it's bringing us closer to the Lord in under his lordship and in his protection, allowing Christ to be accurately formed in us. So correction, when we respond out of a place of humility and not fear, then it brings life. It doesn't bring rejection. Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. I've been enough stupid. I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to say, God, I am here and I am yours, and say to me whatever you need to say so that I can be made whole, completely whole by you. Proverbs 10:17 says, if you readily receive correction, you are walking on the path to life. But if you reject rebuke, you are guaranteed to go astray. And Proverbs 4:13, so receive my correction no matter how hard it is to swallow, for wisdom will snap you back into place. Her words will be invigorating life to you. So God-led correction is invigorating life. It keeps me from going astray. It is the lamp to my feet. And it keeps me from tripping on my way to the assignment. I don't want to trip on the way to the assignment. I want to be able to get there clearly and in the timing of God. Just because my flesh or our flesh is screaming, kicking and screaming when a believer brings correction to our life, it doesn't mean it's not God. You know, I am so grateful for Pastor Amy. She's been my friend for almost 25 years. And in those 25 years, she's had to bring a lot of correction through the years. And I remember she would say something and I would feel so upset inside. And I'm thinking, well, this can't be God. If this was God, why would I feel so bad and so not bad, upset inside? And then I would respond feeling angry and just being offended. And I'm thinking, oh God, this just doesn't feel good. So then after I was done having my tantrum and I come back into my right mind, I would actually sit and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to me. And I'd say, Holy Spirit, are you the one who's speaking through her? And he would confirm it. He's like, I am the one who is reaching out to you. And when I allowed God then to, when I surrendered myself over to the work, God would bring deliverance and healing to my life. And so receiving that from other people becomes a source of life. It becomes something that we need to look at as gratitude and not as as a bad thing. So as we humble ourselves in that moment, God washes over us and he brings deliverance and he brings healing. He sets right behaviors that are not conforming to who Christ Jesus is. And he changes our thinking patterns to be the thinking patterns that he has. And so that God can form Christ in us. So this is all a good thing, because the primary objective of bringing correction for God, the goal is to form Christ Jesus and for the Lord to be fully manifest through our lives. If we don't let pride, guilt, and shame, who have all been crucified at the cross already, Jesus dealt with all of that. It is done. It is not a part of who we are anymore. If we don't let any of that settle in our soul, then when we have these encounters with our sisters and our brothers in Christ, what it is actually doing, it's bringing us closer. It's creating trust, and because it's motivated by love. So it's creating communion in us that is truly genuine and has depth to it. So we must be unoffendable. Why do we need to be unoffendable? Because there has been enough division in our families, enough division in our church family that has caused hurt and has caused people to leave. And that stunts our growth. When we are not dealing with the issues the way the Lord has taught us to do it, then it's almost like we have to start over a little bit, because we have been put together to be partners in destiny. And there is a reason why we are together. There is a reason why we're a part of the same body and a part of the same family. And so it's really, really important that we don't let offense bring division and shut our ears to what God is wanting to say through one another. You know, it says that they will know Jesus through our unity. Well, how beautiful is it that it is our consecrated glory to glory lives in human vessels that are showing and manifesting the life of Christ and giving hope to the world that God is real and he is moving in his people and he changes hearts, he changes lives, he transforms us completely by the name and the blood of Jesus. Now, please hear me correctly. I am not saying that we are going to go around and we start correcting each other. Correction is something that comes from people we have close relationship with or leaders that we trust and we know are speaking from God. And the other thing is, let's make sure it's not our own agendas, our own personal perspectives, our own irritations or unforgiveness that are causing us to want to talk to a brother or a sister in the Lord. Because correction is supposed to build something, to build life in us, to build Christ in us, not to tear us down. So for those times that we have legitimately hurt people or have been hurt by people, in this new era, let's not take it with us. Let's go to one another. Let's come together and ask for forgiveness. Let's clarify the things that we have done or that we have said. If it, in this exact moment you are not ready to do that, then let's take it to the Lord. Let's put it at his feet, because God in his great mercy will heal the wound. And he then will make it so that the relationship will be restored in due time when possible. You know, when we go back to being together again, and which is something I'm really, really looking forward to, I don't want to be held on by my past, by anyone, and I don't want to hold on to anybody by their past. I want to move forward together with all of you, the body of Christ, one body and one voice. So as healthy and strong relationships form, we come together as one voice. Genesis 11, 5 and 6 tells us, "But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower that the people were building. "Look," he said, "these people are united and they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Apostles and prophets have been telling us that this is the year of the mouth. For us, though, the language that we are to speak is the language that Jesus demonstrated in the Word." So John 12, 49 and 50, Jesus said, "For I am not speaking as someone who is self-appointed, but speaking by the authority of the Father himself who sent me and who instructed me on what to say. And I know that the Father's commands result in eternal life. And that's why I speak the very words I hear and speak." John 5:19. So Jesus said, "I speak to you timeless truth. The Son is not able to do anything from himself or through my own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same work as his Father." So that doesn't mean that we go around speaking whatever we want to say. Our mouth is the instrument of God to speak what he is declaring from his heavenly place, to speak what Holy Spirit is stirring in our spirit, is stirring in our heart, and then to declare that accurately. And you know, and in this time of, by talking to many of you, in this time of consecration or separation, God is fine-tuning each and every one of us. We are hearing God more clearly now than we have in a very long time. And so because he's doing that, he's also going to activate inside of us the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of God, so that we can declare with power what God is saying into the world. When we do from a position of being seated with Jesus in the heavenly places, then all the things that are overwhelming and devastating here are nothing to the Lord, because to the Lord, nothing is impossible. Our prayers of faith pull down heaven into earth, declaring the kingdom and the government of God, declaring that the name of Jesus is above every other name and every circumstance and every situation. So when we speak what the Father is saying, we are speaking his eternal truth. And he, who is the eternal Father, who has a solution to everything, will be the one that answers those prayers. So does that mean that we get everything we pray for? No, I'm sorry, it does not. Unless we're speaking and praying what the Holy Spirit is leading, then we're not, if we're not lining up with what he's saying, then those are not the things we probably should be asking for anyway. But the Lord said that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And so we can trust that as we speak, led by the Spirit of God, that he, God, the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, he is the one that knows what is best, and he will do that every time. So before we pray, we need to ask Holy Spirit, what are you saying, God? Because I want to speak accurately. I want to be that sword that is in my mouth, the word of God that separates between what is true and what is not, between death and life. And he will do that. So in closing, I want to summarize these three unifying actions that we are moving into. We are coming into deeper relationship with one another. We are becoming teachable and unoffendable. And we are speaking as one voice. You know, Holy Spirit is equipping his glorious bride, this bride that he died for and that he's coming back for, so that he can establish his kingdom and his government in the earth, so that God is manifested in a real, tangible way to the people that are crying out, especially in this time. So as we build close and deep relationships with one another, as we are teachable and unoffendable and speaking as one voice for the Father, then God himself is going to manifest and realize tangibly all these things that we are crying out and praying for in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for what you are speaking, Lord. And we thank you that our ears are open to you, Lord. We are filtering things through the way that you are speaking them to us, God. And we thank you that because you've given us good ground and good soil in our heart, that the seed that you're planting in us, God, is becoming a reality. And I thank you, Lord, that you will keep watering the seed and you will watch over the seed and you will feed the seed, God, so that it will produce maximum fruit. We thank you, Lord, that through what you're doing in our lives right now, you will be glorified. Your fragrance will be released through your body. We will become, God, the bride that you have called us to be. We will be the ones that manifest who Christ is in the earth. And so, Lord, we say, let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. We give ourselves over to the work. We give ourselves over to your word. We give ourselves over to your presence. And the closer we draw to you, Lord, the more Christ is realized and formed in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that we are doing this individually, but Lord, we're doing this together so that one body is seen and one voice is heard. And we thank you and we give you glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I don't know if any of our brothers were with us, but this is going to be a girls-only area. So from here in about 13 minutes, we're going to move to Zoom. If you have not downloaded Zoom yet, it's not hard. Just go on your tablet or smartphone or laptop and type in www.zoom.zoomu.us and then create an account. It's easy to do. It will not take you a very long time. And then when you get to the page, it's going to show you, it's going to give you an option to join, like to join a meeting. And at this time, you're going to enter this ID that I'm going to read to you. Hopefully, we all had our pens and papers ready.